Well, I'm Andrew Hanks. You can call me Drew. I decided to dress up today as a lunch man for Halloween. Brought my salad and serving utensils. So I am a researcher for the Center for Behavioral Economics and Child Nutrition Programs, what we call the Ben Center. And I'm going to present today. We recognize our funding from the USDA. And I'm going to present some research today about what we call smarter lunchroom makeovers. And this is joint work I've done with David Just and Brian Wansink. And really kind of the punchline of what I'm going to share today is that we have some really simple, innovative, really simple measurements you can take, methods you can use in a cafeteria to, you know, get kids to eat fruits and vegetables. Well, what's important here is that we've shown that these can help reduce waste and increase consumption in the current environment that we're facing right now with the USDA regulations in place. Okay, so I don't have any personal financial relationships to disclose. So as most of us are probably familiar about the, I know Joe mentioned this earlier, the USDA announced requirements for school lunches, the ones that were to be implemented by July this year, where there had to be a fruit or vegetable with every qualifying meal. Okay, they limited starchy vegetables, to once a week. 1% or fat-free white milk with flavored milk of the fat-free type only. Okay, had to be 51% whole grains, sodium reduction, portion control. Okay, those are the really big ones. And, you know, there are some other changes that are going to be carried out in future years. But these are the big ones for this year. And so in theory, right, we expect, okay, we're going to see an increase in fruit and vegetable consumption and increased consumption of whole grains. We're going to decrease sugar and sodium consumption. And really overall, improve the meal balance for these students. And that's the main goal, is to make it a more balanced meal where we have more of these fruits and vegetables that the kids are actually eating. And not only that, but increasing, you know, like dark greens and other different color type vegetables that they're eating. So that's really the goal of this. But what's been happening? So I don't know if you've ever heard of LA Unified. This was actually something written about in 2010, where LA Unified School District did a complete makeover of their menus. Okay, and you can find this on New York Times. There's an article written by Watanabe, was the last name. Anyway, so what happened was they did this complete redo of the menu, and the students really kicked back really hard against it. So they did not participate in the school lunch program. They were really angry at it. You know, and the school district thought, here we are, you know, doing these wonderful new entrees for the students and these great meals, but the students just really didn't like it. And there was a black market that was developed where kids were bringing soft drinks and junk food from homes and selling it to their peers. Anyway, there was a really big rebellion, if you will, to this. And it's somewhat similar to this year's headlines, okay? So if you've been watching the news with regards to these changes that were required to take place, you see, you know, these headlines: some students rebel against healthy school lunches, an ABC, or students rebel, protest against new healthier lunches, that's Education News. New York Times, healthier school lunches face student rejection, okay? And I don't know if you've seen, there's a YouTube video where students are showing how they have no more energy to do their daily activities because they don't have enough calories from their lunches. So what is happening? All right, what's been happening is increases in waste. Kids are just dumping these things in the garbage can, these fruits and vegetables that they weren't eating. Actually, that brings me, there is a school in, oh goodness, I think it was in North Dakota that actually was taking those, saying, putting a bin out. So instead of kids throwing fruit to it, they're saying, let us donate them to these homeless shelters in the area. Anyway, that was one way they were kind of bypassing this issue. But one of the things that is interesting here is that regulations were designed to provide a healthier meal. They didn't ensure consumption of that meal. Okay. And so, as has been talked about multiple in the other talks today, the behavioral sciences offer explanations. Okay, now I have kids, and when we present something new in front of them, "Daddy, I don't like it. I haven't even tasted it. I don't care. I don't like it." So we provide these dark green vegetables to the students or these other new foods. We could say, "I just don't like it," and that's their reason for not eating. But there are other underlying reasons why this might be taking place. And one of the big ones is what we call reactance. And that's a behavioral phenomenon where you actually rebel against your restriction on your own individual freedom. Okay? And so, you know, there's a sign, "Don't press the button," or "Do not enter." There's this inclination, "Ooh, what will happen?" Right? Okay? So it's this idea of reacting to this limitation on our own personal freedom. And there's an example in a high school where there was a restriction on the amount of ketchup packages that kids could receive in the lunch line. They were only given one. There was what they called the ketchup Nazi that was handing out one package per student at the lunch line. And on graduation day, what did the students do? Well, they each put a package of ketchup in the principal's hand as they received their diploma. So we had this huge pile of ketchup packages. Anyway, so this idea of when our freedoms are restricted, we tend to rebel and think, why are you taking this from me? And so this can explain a lot of what's going on in lunchrooms. Why can't I choose what I want to have? Or why do I have to have these different foods? Okay. Now, why does this matter? Well, it matters because there is a way that we can kind of reverse this reactance, or we can kind of work around it to, given the new school lunchroom guidelines, we can work around those to actually help kids choose and eat those fruits and vegetables, okay? And this principle in the behavioral sciences that it can be used to do this is called libertarian paternalism, where, you know, just real simply defined, it's a principle designed to influence but not restrict choice. So the own individual freedom is preserved, but it's not restricting, okay, the choices. Now, how is it useful? It's useful, and it's been mentioned earlier today about nudges. Okay, we can use it to kind of reverse situation to nudge children to make good choices. Now, in our particular context, we look at modifying the environment. Okay, there's been a lot of work by Wansink, for example, 2004, about, you know, restaurant environments, how do different environments affect the restaurant patrons' behavior and such, and also some work with myself and others about, you know, changes in lunchrooms that can modify behavior. Okay, so what we choose to do, kind of a blanket application of libertarian paternalism, by doing what we call a smarter lunchroom makeover, where it includes a whole bunch of interventions in a cafeteria. These interventions are pretty cheap to carry out and relatively easy to implement. And we do things such as improving the attractiveness of fruits and vegetables. Okay, we provide attractive photo menus. We use descriptive labels. We use signs for upselling, like, "This is your last chance for fruit. You know, don't forget the fruit. It comes with your meal." All right. Improving convenience of fruits and vegetables. Okay, we use convenience lines. In one of our studies we've done is provide a convenience line where it's kind of like this texting option where it's only the healthier items available in that particular line, and then kids can go through that line a lot quicker than the line that everything else is available. Placing fruit right next to the register, right? So it's just right there in these nice attractive bowls. Salad and clear, easy to carry containers. So just improving the convenience, and then make selection of fruits and vegetables be seen as normative. Okay, in other words, using verbal prompts. All right. So, "Would you like to try no veggie? How about that boiled kale? I bet you'll like it. You know, you can get another side with your meal. How about grabbing a piece of fruit by the register?" Now, this requires a little bit of training with the staff. And ask, you know, making sure that they're doing these sorts of things. But the great thing about a smarter lunchroom makeover is that it can be modified to any particular environment. All right, if it's really difficult to get staff to, you know, do these sorts of verbal prompts, there are other things you can do to the environment to do for the smarter lunchroom makeover. Once again, they're low cost, it's scalable, it can be done in any location, very flexible, and again, it preserves choice. And so students won't feel this restriction on the choices they can make. So here's an example of what we did. You see these nice little menus of the Southwest taco salad and the nice bowl for apples and, you know, the fruits and things very, very nicely displayed, the cups of veggies very orderly and nicely put out. And so these things are really, really easy to do. All right, and they can be done relatively quickly and cheaply by cafeteria staff. All right. So now I'm going to present results from two studies. Okay, the first study was kind of a pilot study of our Smarter Lunchroom Makeover, where we carried it out in two junior and senior high schools. All right, and the design was really simple. It's just a before after study. We had a control and treatment period. And during that time, we carried out tray waste measures, two during the pre-treatment period and four during the actual makeover session or makeover period. And we had researchers there collecting information on whether none, half, or all of a fruit, vegetable, or starchy side was wasted. Okay, not on particular items like apples and bananas, but actually, if an apple was taken, they just marked fruit. Okay, so we didn't have itemized information that way. And we collected a total of 3,700 observations in this study. And what happened? Well, Smarter Lunchroom Makeover increased fruit selection and consumption. All right, so they were more likely to take the fruit. But more importantly, were they eating it? Well, yes. They're more likely to eat at least half. And they were more at least half of the serving, and students were also more likely to eat the whole serving. Okay, so we see this kind of shift in the distribution of students who were eating. We're actually able to get more students to at least eat some, and more students to eat the whole thing. Okay, so that's kind of this nice shift in what they were eating. And pretty much the same thing for vegetables as well. They're more likely to take them and eat their vegetables. Okay, once again, this shift in the distribution of students who are eating half and all. Okay. And so this is very promising. But once again, this is a suggestive evidence for the effectiveness. It was a pilot study, and we didn't have control schools, and the tray waste measurements did not track individual food items, okay, which could be very useful. And it was conducted in a small city, and so you might think, well, this is really relative to a smaller community. So what we did is a follow-up study on this. It's a randomized field study, okay, where we had 9 participating schools, 3 elementary, 3 middle, and 3 high. And one of each school type was randomly assigned to one of 3 interventions. Okay. Now in this one, we actually carried this out right after the January announcement of the USDA regulations. So we could actually say, okay, let's develop a menu based on the new regulations. And one elementary, one middle, and one high were randomly selected into that category. We had another category of schools that implemented the regulations as well as our Smarter Lunchroom Makeover changes, okay? And then the other elementary, middle, and high school just maintained the status quo, didn't change anything, all right? And so we took tray waste measurements, 2 pre-intervention and 1 during the intervention. And on this one, we collected whether none, quarter, half, three quarters, or all of specific items were wasted. Okay, and this is similar to the application that Joe Price uses, but we use a paper-based approach, and we were able to train a lot of outside folks to use it and help us in our data collection methods. All right. Now, what exactly happened? We saw that the USDA regulations resulted in a 41% decrease in fruit consumption. In other words, there was a large increase in waste. Okay, but what we saw was that with the Smarter Lunchroom Makeover methods, there was no change in the amount of fruit the students were consuming. Okay, so in other words, the Smarter Lunchroom Makeover was able to kind of offset the waste that was occurring due to these USDA regulations or requirements for healthier meals. Now, what happened with vegetable consumption? We saw a significant decrease in after the decrease in consumption after the requirements were put in place. Then with our Smarter Lunchroom makeover, we're actually able to boost that above baseline level with the control group, but increased by 76%. And so we see this ended up being a lot of the salad. The kids really seemed to like the fresh salad bar. Okay, so there was a lot of salad taken. And with fruit consumption, we actually saw a lot of kids shifting towards like the canned fruits and that sort of thing. And so that was really interesting. We still need to dig a little bit deeper to understand those behaviors a little more, with a little more detail. But this right here just really shows how we can go into a cafeteria and even with these requirements for new meals, we can work with that, right? We can work with that and say, hey, given the spread that students are presented on a daily basis, we can still improve what they are eating, okay? And we can also offset this reactance, kind of work against this reactance so that students aren't feeling like they're being forced, but actually feeling like, hey, I'm taking this because I wanted to, right? And there's research, Joe's done some of this research that shows when they actually take it, then they're more likely to eat it too, all right? And so that's the power here with this Smarter Lunchroom makeover. It's really, really simple, right? This research is relatively simple, but it's very powerful in that it's really simple and very cost-effective because, we in the schools, we did this and it cost between $30 to $50 to buy a fruit bowl, right? Or to buy a nice tray or something to put your fruits and vegetables in, or to make little signs, that sort of thing. So it's relatively cheap and it can be carried out in one afternoon and it's scalable. Okay, it can be done in just about any place, any cafeteria. So that's why it's so great. And so that's the presentation on this today. So any questions? Yes. So this was consumption per student. Yes. Right. So exactly. And so, if I understand where you're getting at, so they were required essentially to take a fruit or vegetable, had to be with any qualifying meal, and yes, consumption did decrease still, even though it was on the tray. And the idea being, if I understand, is what you're getting at. Yes.
Or did they actually eat more, but there was more weight? So that 100% were taking it, and you had increased weight, but still, on average, more fruit was eaten.
Oh, I see.
I meant the different content of just weight.
Yeah. No, on average, they were eating less. So, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Yeah, and so the school district we were working with, they developed a menu. It was a very wide scale. So they developed the menu and carried that all out. We didn't develop it or anything. They worked with all the procurement throughout their own life. So. Yeah. So everything was the same. Like all the lunchrooms were the same as before, and the menu was the same in every single school. Okay, now there is cross school variation, of course, that we controlled for in this, where some schools might have a bigger salad bar than others, and those sorts of things. But that was controlled for. So. Yes.
Yeah,
let me. So if you go to our website, smarterlunchrooms.org, you can find a lot of training materials. We go through a lot of our interventions and provide research that backs it and say, hey, this is what you can do in your cafeteria. If your cafeteria is not, you know, this way, but this way, you can do it this way. So it provides a lot of ways that you can do these, right? And there's a lot of variation in cafeterias, and we try and provide training so that you can modify it to fit your own needs. So, yes.
We spent a lot of money on graphic design, we make all kinds of like signs, and provide all of the things that they would need to do these things. And then they sort of like undid it and just really wanted to move all of the products and a lot of, not all of the tools, but some of the tools. You know, they were using the new ideas to really move potato chips and something like that.
The a la carte, yeah.
So my question, I mean, I think this is, you know, this, again, I think this is really cool and it's exciting that you see, some positive impact, but do you have the intention to go back to some of the smarter lunchroom tools to kind of see, like, how long does this thing last when we're not controlling it or driving the bus or whatever, and how much do food service staff or even some of the kind of little, you know, food service supervisors attempt to kind of maintain these things for, you know, sort of just using them to keep selling things. They are really, I think, stressed to be able to make enough money to keep the program in the last.
No, and, yeah, that's a huge concern, right? What are we doing in terms of revenues? But yes, let's say in the pilot study, that the pilot study we did, the food service director for that school and the area food service director actually are very, you know, very motivated to provide healthier meals for the students. So they actually kept it. So it's stayed there in this other, in the larger urban school district. I'm not sure. And it's definitely something we need to, you know, work with the schools. That's one thing we're trying to put in place as we go forward is how are we going to follow up and make sure, you know, they're not taking the apples off the tray right next to the register and placing it with Snicker bars again, right? And so, yes, that's definitely something to be aware of, think about. Yes? Yeah, no, great question. So we've only worked with the cafeteria staff, but you know, working with parents or, you know, volunteers, that would be great to do as well. You know, or teachers, or other type of role models, you know, that would be useful. So. Thank you.